2FM.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game on 2FM, and please do get in touch. So since we spoke about Gordon Elliott yesterday, that photo that I think everyone has seen at this stage, the story has now moved on quite considerably. Elliott will not be permitted to have runners in Britain until the conclusion of an Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board investigation, which will be on Friday. And in further developments, Cheveley Park Stud will move their horses to the yards of trainers Willie Mullins and Henry de Bromhead. And that wasn't all that happened today. An Irish jockey, Rob James, had to apologise for his stupidity after a video of him mounting a dead horse emerged on social media. To talk us through all of this, we are joined by Richie Forrestal, the Racing Post editor in Ireland. Richie, how are you?
Like a lot of people involved in the industry, Marie, it's been a gruelling few days. There's no two ways about it. A bit like Ruby, to, you know, but on a much smaller extent. I'd be involved hands-on to a point still. You know, I keep horses at home myself, young stock. I'd be similar age to Ruby. I've been in the industry in some form or other for 25 years. You know, it's 25 years ago this year I went to England to ride. And in all that time, I have never seen anyone sit on a dead horse. I've never seen anyone do something similarly senseless to a dead horse. So this has been as shocking to me as it has been to most other people involved in the game who, you know, treat horses with the respect they deserve in life and death. I mean, you know, to greater or lesser extents, we depend on these animals for our living, you know, and our lives revolve around them, and they should be treated accordingly. So it's been a difficult few days, and I don't think, it's unfortunate that this is the kind of thing, of course, that gets picked up by the broader media, who often just ignore racing, and then something like this happens, and, you know, they're baying for blood, if you like. It's not representative of the sport at large, I don't believe. I don't even believe it's representative of Gordon Elliott's yard in any way, shape or form. I think his staff are extremely good at what they do. They care for their horses, and you can see that in the way they run and the way they're turned out. You don't, you know, happy horses, I mean, if you want horses to run fast, they have to be happy and healthy, and his are. So what he did was indefensibly stupid, a moment of madness, he described it himself. Rob James has come out and similarly apologised, but there is no excusing what they did, and there is no point in taking much heed of the whatever explanations they've given for them. They did it. They were extremely stupid to do so, and it's taking an unmerciful toll on the game at large.
There's a reason, though, that the wider media have taken such an interest in this, and that's because that photo has really affected people, yeah. Richie, as well. You know, it was an appalling one. It is, I think, one that a lot of people aren't going to forget. They have there's a huge affinity with animals outside of racing, and a lot of people were feeling very aggrieved that an animal would be treated like that. So that's the reason that the wider media have got involved and are covering it to such an extent. Now, I think, just moving on from the event, we're starting to understand the consequences now of this picture, and the loss of Cheveley Park is a really big one for Gordon Elliott.
Huge, yeah. You know, they own arguably the most exciting horse in training right now, Envoy Allen, unbeaten in 11, I think. Going to Cheltenham, looking for a third win in a row at the Cheltenham Festival. Sir Gerhard will be another of theirs, leading fancy for the champion Bunkport. There's plenty of others. Calixios, another good horse, due to run in the Triumph, and they've been dispersed between Willie and Henry de Bromhead. That's going to be the start of it. We don't know, you know, how others are going to react. As you know, and as was referenced already there, the BHA have already imposed a ban until the IHRB hearing is concluded. I think the interesting thing there is, although the IHRB hearing is on Friday, even if they publish an outcome and a verdict on Friday, Gordon Elliott would then have 14 days to appeal, which would get you to the end of the Cheltenham Festival. So if that is, you know, if we're talking, you know, we're preempting things here and talking hypothetically, but if, for example, he were to be suspended, his licence be suspended, he'd have 14 days within which he could still run horses while his appeal or not might be pending. That window is there for him, whether he appeals or not. And if that is the case, what do the BHA do then? Nobody knows. They acted kind of early in this week, you know, they stepped in and decided they were going to do something about it. I'm not sure whether that was the right thing to do or not. It's neither here nor there. I suppose at this stage they did it. So it's going to be interesting.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, Marie. I've thought about nothing else really for the past 3 days. My initial reaction was that he was looking at a massive fine, you know, and when I say massive, I mean a six-figure fine and a significant donation to charity, to an equine welfare charity of some sort. I thought that might have been the response, because to punish the, you know, owners on the eve of Cheltenham for nothing of their doing, and to punish the staff, you know, who would, you know, you'd be talking about job losses and so on if he is suspended for a long period of time. I thought that might have been disproportionate. But when you see the response publicly to this, and you just wonder, you know, if that would even be acceptable now, a huge fine, I don't know. There is a sense now, I think, that a suspension might well be the only acceptable outcome of all this.
When you look at Richie, I remember when, for completely different circumstances, but when the Jenkinstown Horses left Willie Mullins's, when there was a disagreement over training fees, and to watch the faces on the stable staff and all the people in Willie's as one good horse after the other drove out the gate, I can only feel for the staff in Gordon's today when the lorry rolled in and those 8 Cheveley Park horses left the yard. Yeah. Like, Envoy Allen is a flagship horse for the sport, let alone for Gordon Elliott's yard, and to watch him drive out the gate for Gordon and for all his staff would be soul destroying.
And he has let himself down badly. He has let the industry down badly, but he has let his staff down appallingly badly in what he did. I wrote a piece on it myself tomorrow, and I referred to I apologise in advance if I get the pronunciation wrong, Shannon Mahon, who looked after Envoy Allen. And you need only look at her Twitter feeds to see the love and care she gives that horse. She has one video on there of the horse pulling the zip on her jacket up and down, and that kind of thing only comes out of, you know, a bond and trust between horse and human. She had a picture of her Jack Russell in the Cheveley Park colours and her own scarf knitted, you know. That is how close these people are to the horses, and, you know, for her to have to load that horse onto the lorry today is soul destroying. After 3 years waiting hand and foot on it, to see him going off just as he's about to hit the peak of his powers, absolutely soul destroying.
And Richie, we are speculating as to what the BHA will or won't do, regardless of what the IHRB do at the weekend, but when you look down through what Gordon may or may not have had at Cheltenham, you've Galvin in the National Hunt Chase, Grand Raw in the Coral Cup, the Boss's Oscar in the Port Thames, Farclaw in the Paddy Power Plate, Zanna here in the Triumph, Wide Receiver, Abacadabra. The list of horses goes on, and their participation surely has to be somewhat in doubt.
Yeah, I suspect a lot of them won't be there. I think we've seen a move today, you know, unfortunately. It's probably inevitable that there'll be other moves. It comes back to the, you know, even if he isn't suspended in the meantime by the Irish authorities, it looks at this point as though the BHA won't tolerate having him on a racetrack in the near future. So in that case, do Noel and Valerie Moore consider moving Zanahir and Co? Do Rob Corr consider moving theirs? I don't think Giggenstone will move to run at Cheltenham. To be honest, I don't think they have the deepest team they've ever had that would be going there. You mentioned Abacadabra. There's one or two others. Obviously, Tiger Roll would be the one significant one. But in terms of, you know, heavyweight Grade 1 contenders, I don't think they have as deep a team as they might have before. We know Tiger Roll isn't going to entry now. There was a, you know, typical kind of Giggenstone release, you know, they're not happy about the rating. A timely release, I suppose, it changes the narrative a little bit, you could look at it that way. But, you know, they also kind of laid it down to the BHA that we want to run this horse in the cross country, don't get in our way kind of thing. But I don't think they will move any of their horses. I don't know about the others, but I would be pretty confident, having read their statement the other day, that they're going to back their man and proceed on that basis.
And Ruby, the horses that have gone to Cheveley Park, I think most notably, sir, are gone, the Cheveley Park horses that have gone, most notably Sir Gerhard that's gone to Willie's. What happens to that horse now? Like, how does it react to the change of environment?
It varies from horse to horse. If you have a highly strong, fractious horse, Ruby will tell you just as much about this as I would. I mean, they can take a bit of time to settle in. They might go off their feed for a while. They're out of their familiar surroundings. And it can take some horses time to settle in. If you have a fairly laid-back horse who tends to, you know, with a good constitution, who eats well and does well and doesn't take too much notice of things, it might have absolutely no impact. Envoy Allen, as far as I can tell from outside, seems a very straightforward sort of animal. You would hope it won't impact him one way or another, but that's not a given. You know, Henry de Bromont might look at him in a few days' time and say, this horse is a bit flat, I'm not happy about him, we could be in trouble here. Now, that's unlikely, but you just don't know how they're going to respond. They're all individuals. Look, the horses move from stable to stable all the time. Generally speaking, it's not a big deal, but it can impact some.
We'd be so close to Cheltenham, though.
Yeah, I know, but and I always say to Donegal, like, that horses are athletes, so neither Henry de Bromhead or Gordon Elliott will, or Willie Mullins even, will be quite sure where exactly Gordon Elliott had those horses as regards their preparation at Cheltenham Meader. Was Gordon planning, does Gordon have them peaked already and he's only at a maintenance level now? Was he planning to have them peaked in 10 days' time just before they departed to go to Cheltenham? So all those small things that you won't really know, and the horse can't tell you. So it becomes a little bit tricky, and they'll have to fit into the routine and relax and start to eat. I'm not sure what feed company Gordon Elliott would use. Is it the same as Henry de Bromhead's and Willie Mullins'? So all the small little things that you wouldn't see.
And they wouldn't be accustomed to reading the horse either. That's the other thing. So as Ruby said, the horses can't speak to you. Some horses don't do much anyway. Some horses will do more of a morning and show their wellness. Some won't. So they wouldn't be accustomed to reading those particular horses. But look, horses do move, generally speaking, without any great drama. But most trainers prefer a bit of time. I think Willie's a fairly good case in point there, Ruby. He gets horses and he likes to spend a bit of time with them before he runs them. Wouldn't that be fair to say?
It is fair, Richie, and in a normal circumstances, Willie would almost give the horse a break and a long extended break and then start from scratch and work it into his routine. Obviously, that's not the case here. There's no welfare issue. Moving from one yard to another will have no issue at all on their welfare. It's just actually on their fitness and their ability to perform. That's the only thing. It mightn't be the same.
Ruby, would Willie ring Gordon now and ask about where the horses are at?
They would know each other well enough, yeah. Of course he could. And maybe he will. I don't know, Marie, I most certainly can't speak for him.
All right, it is an interesting one, I think, because I suppose with Cheltenham on the horizon, a lot of people are so interested in this. And Richie, just from, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier about what the British racing authorities are going to do. And when you just think of the PR around Cheltenham and the fact that I'm sure they want things to go off without a hitch, that might come into play a little bit on decision making.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why they've moved the way they have done. I mean, in one respect, you could say that they were, you know, this was an issue primarily not in their jurisdiction, and it wasn't really any of their business until the IHRB had ruled one way or another on it. But on the other hand, you can see from their point of view that Cheltenham and Aintree are on the horizon, and more so than in Ireland, I think there is, you know, a need for the authority to be seen to be dealing proactively with these sort of issues. Now, I know, don't get me wrong, we have serious welfare responsibilities here. That's not the point, but I think people are more accustomed to the agricultural scene here and the rural way of life in England. As we know, they come under an awful lot of pressure to explain and defend horses and racing. So I think that will have fed into their decision as well. They decided to act early. And at the moment, I must say, I'd be interested to know what Ruby says, but when you see what's happened and when you think about the 14-day spell for leave of appeal, at the moment, I would think it's probably more unlikely than likely that the name Gordon Elliott will appear on the race card at Cheltenham.
I would concur with that, but I also think you're dealing with two very different legal systems, and this goes over my head, but I do know that the legal implications of what they are allowed to do in the UK are very different to Ireland. So even if the IHRB had wished to do so, until they have a hearing for Gordon Elliott, they can't deprive someone the right to earn a living. That is not the way it is in the UK. So, and that's just judicial. I remember that from when Kieran Fallon was on trial, and it was a completely different thing, but that's the way it played out. There is some bit of a precedent there, but they are the legal implications of both countries are very, very different.
Yeah. And another point, just when you mentioned legal, Ruby, this is something that I think they're going to have to look at in future. They have, and maybe for a good reason, you know, there's probably historical reasons for it, which we won't go into, but the IHRB, for these panels, they tend to lawyer up quite heavily. You know, you'll have Justice Tony Hunter, Justice Leonie Reynolds on it, and that takes time to convene. You know, two or three people on the hearing panel. Like, for example, there's the case with John Delaney today in the High Court, and Justice Leonie Reynolds was presiding over that, as far as I'm aware. So the difficulty then is trying to convene a panel. And here we are on Tuesday. This broke on Saturday. We're not going to have a hearing until Friday. We don't know if we'll have an outcome on Friday. And all the while, you know, racing's image is being dragged through the mud because of this, and it's not being dealt with. Now, I understand that, due process has to be followed, don't get me wrong, but there is very little in the way of facts that need to be established in relation to this, because Gordon has come out and admitted it. He's going to go in and say his part. You know, there is very little in the way of investigation that needs to be done. He needs to be sat down in front of a panel. The case needs to be heard and dealt with, but it's not going to be dealt with for most of a week. And I don't think that's helpful in a situation like this. And I compare it to 2017. You'll remember the incident with Davy Russell, unfortunately, struck a horse over the head, and it was 3 weeks before that was satisfactorily resolved, and it was left to fester. And the same sort of thing is happening here. We need to follow due process. I would never argue otherwise, but I think they need to move a little bit sooner on something like this.
Yeah, okay, that in an ideal world, that is the outcome you would like, but I don't envy anybody who will have to sit on that referrals committee on Friday and try and make a fair and level judgment as to what to do with somebody's future. And I think, therefore, when you're waiting for people who are chief justices or judges in the courts that are dealing with issues every day of the week and can have a better understanding of what is,
what'll stand up,
and a fair call on what penalty you impose on somebody's life, I think that is a huge decision for any normal, ordinary person to be making. I'm sure as hell, lad, I'm not sitting in that referrals committee, because it's somebody's whole life you have in your hands.
Yeah, and his staff, for that matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they will be very well equipped to do that, no doubt. And just on his future, can he come back for this? Can Gordon Elliott come back from the picture and then this just whole week of controversy?
It depends on the outcome of the appeal, I suppose. Of the hearing. We're speculating. We don't know whether he's going to get a fine. We don't know if he's going to get a month's ban, a 6 month ban, a year's ban. Like Charles Burns has got a 6 month ban for negligence. And the act in relation to that case, you could argue, was, you know, worse than the individual act here, which was stupid, but, you know, didn't endanger a horse or a person. And Charles Burns obviously hasn't been found guilty of anything in relation to administering the substance, but he was done for negligence in relation to it. So he got 6 months for that. I mean, we just don't know what he's going to get, and it's very hard to say, you know, from the point where I know how it would play out for him. But it has to be remembered, Marie, this is a man who came from nothing. Son of a panel beater, you know, no wealthy background, no racing background, and he has built this up from nothing. And I don't think he's going to just go away. I think he will be here to stay. He'll find a way to get back going again, whatever happens. I think his results, it's a results-oriented business, and one thing he has proved over the years is that he can get results, and that ultimately is what this game comes down to.
He gave an interview to David Jennings in your paper, and he said, "My whole life has revolved around horses since I was a child. I know nothing else. Horses are all I have. I come from nothing. and built a dream, and he apologised and he said that it really hurts him that people think that he has no respect for his horses. And in a way, when I was reading this, Richie, I felt like that should have been his statement from the start.
Yeah. Look, there's no two ways about that. The statement on Sunday night didn't go down well anywhere, wasn't convincing and didn't help the situation. Yesterday's effort when he spoke, sat down and spoke to David, it read a lot better, and I think you know, a lot more sincere. So it's I suppose he found himself in a situation that he had no experience of dealing with before, and you know, I would have, you know, there has been a sense of you know, the knives have been out for him over the last 24 hours. I would have a lot of sympathy for him. He done something incredibly stupid. He's going to pay a price. We don't know how big a price that is going to be, but you know, you don't achieve what he has done without respecting horses and caring for them. And he fosters that culture in the yard. I don't think anyone could deny that, with the exception of this one incident, which obviously looks appalling. But you know, the horses are, when you see them at the races, they're turned out immaculately. They're happy horses. As I say, you look on social media and you'll see them. You know, but he has let himself down badly with this.
Absolutely, he has, and I think Ruby put it really well yesterday when he said a picture painted 1,000 words, and that is the unfortunate situation that he is in. And Ruby has said it, and he said it himself, it's indefensible, but we will find out on Friday how far reaching these consequences are. Richie Forrestal from the Racing Post, thanks so much for joining us.
Game on 2FM with Green Firm. Naturally good food, packed with protein.